right, which speaking on again the idea of living in the supernatural, and we're down in this area now we call the Word of the Kingdom. The Word of the Kingdom. We're starting to read here in Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. Praise God. Blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, as we look at this, we're seeing here that in terms of the supernatural, we're expanding your understanding of the kingdom of God. Because when you mention the kingdom, you're talking about the supernatural. And you're in a time where the supernatural is needed. That's why he says that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of who? Sons of God. Sons doesn't mean a type of agenda, but it's a mature offspring. Because God's people are the ones that the world is waiting on right now. Now let's just go back and look at this idea of the kingdom. When you're talking about the kingdom, you're saying, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, if you recall, he said, thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. It refers to Christians worldwide living by the instructions of God's word and depending on his provision, serving God and not this world. Okay? So the moment you get born again, you're born into the kingdom of God. And the moment you're born into the kingdom of God, you are now privileged to start operating in the system of the kingdom and partaking of an inexhaustible amount of provision the moment you get born into it. Now, folks, if you knew how to operate in it, that would be good news for a single parent mother who has about five kids she's trying to take care of. That'd be good news. But now we've got to find out how to operate in this. Because, you know, I was listening to a man preaching, talking about one of the biggest problems in the church is that the preachers have never been taught how to live by faith or receive money from God. And because that has not happened, then, you know, some of them have preached the fact that this prosperity preaching is wrong. Now, I know people can get off in the ditch and so forth. But because that has not happened, then a lot of sometimes pressure has been put on the congregation in terms of believing and getting the money in there. Because some people have tried for years to try to get away without preaching about the fact that we are supposed to have money. But they finally figured out that they can't do anything without it. That everything that God told a preacher to do is going to take some money. I know he told me to do some things, and I'm telling you, it takes money, folks. So the two things that the preacher finally figured out he needs is some money and somebody on his board with good credit. You know? So I'm just saying that we got to get away from that, because that's a whole nother way to live. And I really, really am investing time in, and Bishop Oyedepo called me the other day, said, Doc, what do you want to preach on? I said, preach on how to get these people depending on God instead of this world system. And so forth. So, anyway. So, The enemy's strategy is to keep us depending on Babylon. Babylon is a system that is society trying to meet its needs without God. And what we said is that you end up, and what people end up doing is the government start, you know, supplying everything. And any government that can take, you know, God's place in terms of taking care of you is the same kind of government that can take everything from you. And so that's what's happening. More and more taxes, more and more taxes. Why? Because they're busy trying to meet the needs without God. You see, they're trying to meet it on a limited, watch this, dwindling supply. Man, boy, God can take care of your need. I don't care what it is. I say amen to that. God can pay off this national debt before the faith conference is over. So, once you deal with the kingdom, you're dealing with the anointing, the blessing of God that overrides the curse. You're dealing with God bringing back now into the hands of mankind this rulership over this planet. You're dealing with God restoring back to man what he lost in terms of Adam and when Adam sinned. God redeeming humanity, making it so that God doesn't even remember your sins. Once you get born again, God has wiped out the slate in terms of your past. As a matter of fact, your past becomes irrelevant to God, and that you can start all over again. Say amen to this. And that God has returned, returning the earth into the hands of his rightful ownership. So in this, you and I, the Bible talks about here working miracles among you, doing the supernatural, things that happen, that Abraham had to believe God, and those which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So what God did for Abraham, he's going to also do for us. Amen to that. Now, in this, let's go over to Matthew chapter 13, and we call this particular part of our supernatural teaching, we call it the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. Now, notice what I'm doing here. I'm expanding your thinking through the word of God, through my preaching. Because the enemy has tried to put a cap on what you believe. And what we're doing is we're unstopping that well. Look what it says here. This is found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. This is Jesus teaching. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, underline it, the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. All right, let's stop right there. He went on down in terms of talking about the different kinds of soil and so forth. Now in this, he's teaching on the kingdom of God and how it operates and bringing us back into a place of rulership over this planet. Now, you and I, for us to change or improve this world, we're going to have to operate on higher principles than the world. And the higher principles that we're going to operate on are love and joy and peace and justice and mercy and compassion and unity and integrity and holiness, so forth and so on. We're going to operate on these things. But the world is limited to inferior principles. And this is principles of division, jealousy, hatred, you know, stepping on somebody to get a promotion, revenge, greed, murder, selfishness, all these kind of things. And what I read to you in terms of higher principles are coming out of Galatians chapter 5, where he calls it the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit can be defined as supernatural disposition. You can't get there without the Holy Ghost. Can't get there without the Word of God. In fact, over in Matthew's Gospel 4:4, he says that he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now that's the word of the kingdom. Okay? That's where you're gonna live. Now I know when people are operating on these lower principles, they call them principles of darkness. And in those principles, it might look like they're getting ahead, but they're not. Because the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, that be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Next verse, please. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Let's stop right there. Put it up there in the Amplified. Same verse in the Amplified translation, if you will. He says this, gives you another degree of meaning. For he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and what? Destruction. All right? Come on over to Isaiah, if you will, chapter 14. And look at Isaiah chapter 14. And look now at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Who is Lucifer, somebody? Satan. Son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken what? Nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did it shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Is this a man? Now that's what we're going to say. We're going to say, wait a minute. Is that the man? No, come on. Is that the man? Now I'm talking about the enemy and his tactics of destruction. Because if he can get people to operate on the lower nature, then they sow to the flesh. And if they sow to the flesh, they're going to reap destruction. So cities can be destroyed by sowing to the flesh. And any cities that you've seen out there, no matter how big they were, how big the Roman Empire, how big, so forth, because of sowing to the flesh, every one of them met destruction. Got it? So the world cannot save itself. It needs somebody to sow to another level. Because if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. So it might look like the world is getting away with something when they get revenge on you, whatever have you, but you stand on that word, because that word is going to deliver you. Let's go all the way over to Ezekiel chapter 36, please. Now notice what the enemy comes in. He comes in to make the world as a wilderness. He cannot keep anything alive. He is a dead spirit. He cannot do it. He can try, but he can't. He can't keep anything alive. That's why he had to switch drug dealers. He can't keep one alive. He can't. He's a dead spirit, folks. He has no life in him. Then that's why you can't retaliate according to his dark system and the principle of that system, because they're designed to destroy. In fact, if you would, just write the scripture down. It's found in Proverbs, and Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, it seems right. Seems like you're getting away with it. But it's designed to eat you up. Hatred, jealousy, talking about folks, running down the preachers. Say amen to this. All this stuff is designed to come back at you. The Bible says if you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. All that bad stuff that you sowed in your past, that's why you got saved. Because once you got saved, it came back, but it came on Jesus. It's got to come back because it's spiritual law. It doesn't go out in space somewhere. That's why when you mess up, the first thing you do is what? You repent, because you got to get the blood flowing. You got to get that stuff off of you, because it's coming back. All right, notice, ruined cities, because that's what the enemy did. But look what God does. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. Watch this. And they shall say, this land that was what? Desolate, is become like the what? Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Come on. Then I will do it. I don't care how bad it looks. There's a blessing that's on your life, and that blessing is designed to turn a ghetto to the garden. It is designed. Come on now. It will take you from zero to a hero. It will cause things to happen in your life that no man can explain. That's what's on you. And you got a kingly anointing on you. I'm not talking about gender now. There's a kingly anointing on you that you decree things. Say amen to that. And when you decree, I'm talking about operating supernaturally. I'm not talking about naturally. I'm talking about supernaturally. And don't ever think it takes the same time supernaturally to fix something as it does in the natural. Say amen to that. So, that's the power that you have that is virtually unlimited. It's on you right now. Yes. Say, the blessing is on me. Yes. It's on you right now. Now, you got to have faith in that blessing. You got to have faith in it, because that's what happened with Abraham and Lot. You remember? They were there, and the blessing was on Abraham. So because of Abraham's blessing and Lot following him around, Lot got rich. But pretty soon they had strife between the herdsmen. Well, what's strife designed to do? Strife, one man said, is like dropping a rattlesnake in a baby crib, because strife will wipe out everything you got. Why? It's a lower nature. So here's what Abraham said. Let there be no strife between us. This is found in Genesis chapter 13. Let there be no strife between us. He said, you pick what you want. You pick the right hand, I'll go to the left. If you pick the land to the left hand, I'll go to the right. Well, why did he say that? Because it didn't make any difference. The blessing is powerful enough to make a garden out of any place on this earth. And you got to speak things. You got to come in your house decreeing things. You got to take your kids, decree things over them. Say amen to that. In fact, you can bless yourself. Let me get... Go over with me to Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 16, if you will. Put it up on the board. This is just a little side trip here. Look at verse 16. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. All right? Stop right there and put it up there in the Amplified, if you will. Put it up there in the Amplified. Glory to God in heaven. All right, look what it says in the Amplified. So it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying. All you got to do is say something over yourself. Say it. Decree it over yourself. Isn't this wonderful? All right, now, here's the problem with all of this. Come on over here to Deuteronomy chapter 30, please. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, this all sounds good. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, look at verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life, come on, and death, keep going, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Notice what it is. It's a choice. It's a choice whether you want to retaliate on this man, come on, or you want to forgive him. It's a choice whether you want to steal from the boss man or walk in integrity. It's a choice, and we have a choice right here. And God is telling you which choice to make. What does he tell you to do? Choose life, praise God. Boy, that's easy to figure out right there. Okay, so what does the enemy try to do? The enemy tries to keep us dependent on a Babylonian system, a system that's not working for anybody. Now, okay, so now, amen, praise the Lord. Now, here's the deal, because I got something to talk about in terms of the word of the kingdom and how this word works in your life, but I want to talk about a concept first, that Jesus came not as God. He came as the Son of God. Got it? Now, what do I mean by that? That he set his Godhead ability aside and operated as a man. Paul, by revelation, calls him the last Adam, because he's showing you how Adam was. Remember three things Adam lost in the fall. He lost fellowship. He lost his assignment. And he lost provision. Got it? Then he got put out of the garden. Now the garden contained everything that Adam would need in this life. The garden now is the kingdom. And the kingdom has come inside of every believer. The whole kingdom, not half of it. The whole, how can you get a whole kingdom in me? Well, ask God. The whole kingdom has come inside of you. Amen. Now, what does the kingdom supply? All the provision that we would need in this earth for everything we have need of. The kingdom does. All right, now Jesus wants you, or desires for you, to identify with him. Got it? And notice they were going over to the other side, and here comes a storm to sink the boat. They woke up Jesus. They accused him that he didn't care. And then he rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." There was a great calm. And then he looked at them and said, "Now, wait a minute. Where is your faith? Why didn't you do that?" Here Jesus spoke to the tree. "No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever." Notice, he did that. He was showing them how to operate under the authority of God, speaking the word of the kingdom, which would dominate anything that's out of line with heaven. He was showing, hey, wait a minute. You don't need to sit there and pray. You don't need to go through all of that. Just listen. "No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever." 9 words. Just speak 9 words to it. Now, I want you to see this now, because some of y'all are speaking too much. And the Bible says through much speaking like that, you kind of get off. You drift off into unbelief, see, because you don't believe your words are enough to do that. No, no, no. He see yourself like God sees you. Say amen to this. And so here Jesus, he's busy trying to get us to identify with him. And sometimes you got to get back in that Bible and understand, watch Jesus. He walked on water. Here comes Peter. "Hey, if that be you, bid me to walk on the water too." Come on. Notice, every time trying to get us to identify, he's not trying to lift himself up and say, "Well, I can do this, but you can't do it." No, no. He is saying, wait a minute, you can do this too. Now, once you do this and see how Jesus worked, now you got to keep renewing your mind to you are not who you used to be, but now you're somebody that's different. Got it? I was over in Africa, and I was in Uyo, Nigeria, and we were riding with the doctor, bishop over there, and so forth, and he was, my wife and I were in the car. He was taking us, and he had a, you know, entourage of cars and so forth. The police were directing the way and so forth, and just a great time. They really honored us well and so forth. But he said something. He said, "Now, you know, I went to Angola." He said, "You got to come one time, and we go to Angola or so forth and so on." He wants to have an apostolic conference over there. And I said, okay. I said, "Well, what's happening?" He said, "Oh, you know," he said, "some of the young women over there in Angola are beautiful, young, beautiful girls. I mean, they could be on the front cover of any glamour magazine and so forth." He said, "But you look at their hands been cut off." I said, "Whoa, is that right?" Now, right there, boom, I jumped. He said, "You know, sometimes I've just cried. I just wept when I see that." All right? Let's look at the Bible, because God said something. Put it up on the board. Put up Isaiah chapter 55. And start at verse 8. It is what he said. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways," come on, "my ways, saith the Lord." Keep going. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So what you're thinking has a lot to do with your behavior. Yes. Keep going, next verse. "For as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven, and watereth the earth, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall," keep going, "accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Got it? So notice he's saying, okay, get your thoughts up. Get your thoughts up because you're thinking like the world. The world thinks that nothing we can do about that. Let me come back over here. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Now, Jesus is teaching on the kingdom. See? And what you can't do is you can't get among them and become like them. Your reason for getting among them is that they become like you. Got it? All right. Now, let's look at this. Matthew chapter 15. Remember I said the blessing is powerful enough to fix anything that's broke. And that Jesus didn't come in the synagogue and preach the law like the Pharisees. He came and preached the blessing. Because the blessing of Abraham would have fixed everything that was broke. Look what it says in verse. I'll start here at verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. And he went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at whose feet? Jesus' feet. And what did Jesus do to them? Now, he didn't cry over here. He healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak. You see this? The maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now, what is a maimed person? A person who perhaps got their hands cut off. Am I right? Now, when they brought that person to Jesus, what did Jesus do for them? He healed them. You got it? He healed them. And somebody said, well, that is Jesus. That's who that was. That was Jesus. He is the Son of God. He can do that. Well, the Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now let's go to John chapter 14, because some of y'all looking at me kind of wild-eyed. John chapter 14. Look what it says here. Let me know when you get ready. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, come on, help me. He's the one doing the work. Now, it stands to reason that if God can create the hand, no, am I right about it? Now, I'm saying that if we identify with the victim, we'll start crying. But if we'll identify with the healer, we'll start healing. Look what it said in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, come on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, wait a minute. I better read that again. I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, listen here. Not only will you do what I did, that includes making the lame whole. Hands cut off, hands grow back. But greater works. You're going to do stuff greater than that. I'm not talking about greater in terms of covering more territory. I'm talking about greater in terms of acts of miracles. You're going to do stuff that almost is beyond your belief. Got it? So when we see devastation, we can cry and identify with the victims, or we can come up into the spirit, into the supernatural, claim our inheritance as sons of God, and let the power flow through us and heal the sick. The total supply for Adam was in the garden. The total supply for you is in the kingdom. And the kingdom is in you. Got what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying the world is waiting on this. Now, let's read Matthew chapter 5. And to do this, you're going to have to get rid of that low self-esteem, that low ceiling. I tell you, it's over. Get rid of that mess. It's got no place in the kingdom. God has said you are seated together with him in heavenly places. And you didn't come here to take sides. You came to take over. And everything that Satan has done in people's lives, you came to remove, you came to loosen, you came to destroy, you came to reverse, you came to undo the works that the devil has done. You're not looking at them trying to condemn them. They're condemned already. Anybody walk around with their hands cut off and so forth, they feel condemned. You came here to make them whole. You came here to bring them out of that place. You're looking at one thing where God wants them in this life. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but under a candlestick, and give it that and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your come on good works and do what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. The world is trying to fix the earth without the blessing. And I'm telling you, the blessing is on your life. Satan's trick is to try to keep you dependent on the world system and not knowing your identity. And that's why people fall around here and identify with everything going and imitate this and imitate that. It didn't say nothing about imitate that. It said imitate God. It tells you in that Bible in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 who to imitate. Say amen to that. Now, I'm saying that what we try to do is identify with the wrong thing. And because of it, we stay where we are. I'm telling you, I break the power of that deceptive spirit in your life today in Jesus' name. And I release the spirit of truth on you right now to convict you of anything that's not of God. Now, give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. Folks, I'm telling you, I used to think I was Superman. I used to think I was Roy Rogers, Hopalong Cassidy, anybody. I'm telling you, but now I know who I am. I'm a child of the King. Come on now. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I have my name written in heaven, and a picture of God. He's got a picture of me on his dresser, and he has the finished product of my picture right there. And he's got a Holy Ghost teaching me how to arrive at the place that he's already predestined for my life. Say amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm gonna believe God. Whatever God says, that's what I want in my life. I don't need nobody to try to mix me up and tell me anything other than what God said. And because I believe God, then I'm not in sin. Because whatever's not of faith is sin. I got to stay in faith, and faith means I got to believe the word. And if I don't believe that word, I'm in unbelief. I'm not going to stay in unbelief. I'm getting out of unbelief. I'm going to see the blessing in my life. I'm not going to depend on Satan and what he said, but the word of the kingdom is the word in my life. Give the Lord a praise. We're going to stay right there. We got to get all this mess out of the church. I said we got to get all this mess out of the church. God is good all the time. He said, you imitate one thing, imitate Christ. Imitate God. He knows who you are. Say amen to that. And don't you look down on yourself just cause you may not look like this person, or your hair ain't like that, or come on, or whatever have you, but look to Jesus. I'm telling you, he's a lifter. He'll tell you who you are. Oh, yeah. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You sow the word of God, you'll reap the eternal life that God has for you. Folks, during this conference, watch and see. Whatever has been held back in your life is going to be released. It's going to be released. Praise God. Take your seats. Well, that's the word of the kingdom.